Please. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I love you so much. I enjoy you so much. I just like to camp out with you. But, you know, I know there's other things to do, but this is priority. And thank you for making Jesus a priority. And I want you to know that heaven is looking and heaven is listening. And heaven's watching. And you know what? He's watching your heart. Because I want to tell you, your response to God and your blessing, anytime we come together for the Word, it's an opportunity to feast on Him. Because He is the Word. And I want to tell you, the Word is priority. And He wants to sow divine seed into your heart. And the Holy Spirit is the helper of this. And if you'll have a heart that's listening, and if you'll whisper to the heart, man, I whisper from the heart. I do this every time you get in a word, but every time you hear a sermon or you go into a Jesus meeting or fellowship, is that, Lord, I want to hear you. Lord, I want to see you. Lord, I want to know you. And I want to tell you, that is so simple. But see, heaven's looking at the heart. And the Lord says that His eyes are roaming to and fro. He's looking to and fro across this whole earth. And you know what He's looking for? He's looking for hearts. Hearts that are saying yes to Him. And so I want to tell you, one of the greatest things you can do today is to say yes to the Lord at the start and say, Lord, I want to see you in the Word. I want to hear you. I want to know you. And just say yes to Him. And let Him be Himself to you today, because He wants to love on you. And He'll minister to you. I know there's things that we face that we don't even understand. He does. And He'll touch you in a way that no human can touch you. And He'll minister relief to you. And I just speak in the name of Jesus that Jesus is Lord over this meeting. And I just confess that His power is very, very present. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this meeting. And we declare in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit is revealing Himself to hearts. And I confess the Word of God that our ears are open to hear His voice, that our eyes of our heart are open to see Him today. And we all agree in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Now, Jesus, His joy, it's His joy, not our joy. His joy is in us, and His joy is our birthright. When you receive Christ, you get all that He is. And I want to tell you, there's more in us than we know, even have discovered or know what to do with. But that's the exciting part of walking with the Lord, is that the Holy Spirit leads us into greater and greater discovery. And that's exciting. You're talking about a lifetime treasure hunt. That's what He is. And what a joy that we get to experience and see Him with a long fulfilled life. That's the end of Psalm 91. I think it's 16. That part of the blessing of the Lord is that we get the revelation of a fulfilled life and getting to see the revelation of Yeshua. It says salvation. It's Yeshua in Hebrew. And Yeshua means Jesus. Is that great? We get to see greater and greater revelation of Jesus our whole life. And that makes for a fulfilled, satisfied life. And so if you're not fulfilled in your life, Jesus is the answer. And you see Him today, you're going to leave more fulfilled than you came. And I want to tell you, when you're fulfilled in Jesus, you're satisfied in Him. And, you know, we want to let Jesus satisfy our soul. Now, one of the things that I do to minister to other pastors a lot of times is I'll send out, and some of you get this, leadership team will, some of you get it, but I send out a fresh bread, so to speak, and it's just a kind of a now word, a fresh word that the Lord is speaking to my heart. And, you know, I just send it to pastors. And a lot of times I do this on Sunday mornings. And the reason I do that is because a lot of times Sunday mornings is a greater battlefield for people that are ministering than any other day of the week. I mean, the enemy wants to hinder. And he'll try to hinder before, he'll try to hinder during, and he'll try to hinder afterwards. Some of you may even experience, and I'm not speaking this on you, I'm just saying the way that the enemy likes to operate is that the word says that the birds of the air, which represents darkness, will come and steal away the seed. And so he is so fearful, the enemy is fearful, of you getting the word of God in your soil, in the heart. And he knows, see, if the word of God gets planted in your heart, then I want to tell you, his kingdom's in danger. Because the kingdom of God, the multiplication of the kingdom of God can happen in your heart, in your life, 30, 60, 100 fold. And I want to tell you, that you become a world shaker when it comes to that. And so the enemy wants to steal the word. And the enemy wants to try to hinder ministers from ministering in the liberty and the freedom of the Lord. And so a lot of times I'm just sharing with you that Sunday morning is an acute battlefield for people that minister. So I try to send out fresh bread, just love on pastors on Sunday morning, just share a fresh touch that he's given me to other pastors on Sunday morning, because it can be a battlefield. I remember about 30 years ago, and I'm saying the date 30 years ago, because I don't want anybody trying to figure out, well, who, what, when, what, you know, because people try to be detectives, you know, and figure all that stuff out. And but here's the deal. So you don't know who I'm talking about or where or what. But 30 years ago, I was fixing to minister on a Wednesday night. And on that morning, Wednesday morning, I got confronted by a situation, because we were dealing with a discipline situation in church. And let me tell you something, that's not fun. As a matter of fact, it's like disciplining your kids. If you're enjoying it, you're doing it wrong. Okay, it ought to kind of hurt. Oh, don't you dare. You know. Come on now. If you think you're fixing to enjoy it, you need to back off till the emotions are at peace. But I'm telling you, you know, the same thing with church discipline. It's like a family. You hate to do it. It hurts to do it. But you got to be consistent. And, you know, when you discipline, just same way, if you don't discipline your kids, and they need to be disciplined, please discipline your kids. For all of our sake, for the future's sake, please discipline your kids. But the Bible says you prove you love them when you do that. If you don't discipline, you're loving yourself. Whatever's easiest for me at the moment. You know. And but I'm telling you, same thing with family discipline in a church. Sometimes it's got to be done. And, you know, when we have to do something like that, we don't broadcast in the bulletin all the dirty diaper situation. Okay, we don't do that. And I want to tell you, there's a real principle that love covers. Sometimes things have to be shared. But by and also, we were dealing with a discipline situation. And so the outside didn't know what's going on. But it's happened a few times in my life where sometimes you're dealing with leadership situation, and they'll leave or go off, and they'll give a different report, you know. And you're not sharing any dirty diaper, and they're throwing mud, and it don't sound good. You understand that can happen? It's just like you discipline one of your kids, they can go tell someone at school, they mean to me. They mean to me, you know. Come on. So really and truly, couple of folk had gotten a report from someone we had to do a little discipline situation with to try to help, because the purpose of discipline is to restore. And but sometimes they choose to leave, but whatever. They had believed a bad report, a negative report. And so they shared some things that Wednesday. It hurt, you know, because they didn't understand, and they were believing a bad report, a false report, and I couldn't share, you know, and you know, a lot of times, I'm telling you, the Lord won't allow you to defend yourself, because you're trusting in the Lord as your defense, and he's a lot better at it than you are, okay, and so you don't need to pick up stones to throw back. But here's the deal, you know, they shared with me that they're going to bring a group tonight, they're going to confront me. And they're going to do it in front of the body. And I was just disturbed, man. I'm Wednesday afternoon, man. I'm trying to prepare for Wednesday night in this scenario, and I'm miserable. You understand, you get miserable. and you get anxious and you get worked up and, you know, you just, I mean, my heart racing, my brain's, you know, fizzled and I can't think, you know, and you start working up scenarios. See, that's not good. Okay, I'm just telling you. And so I was so miserable, I cried out to the Lord. See, that's a good thing to do. Because I did not have joy. I didn't have peace. I wasn't feeling loved. And I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I just give it up. I surrender. I can't do this. I need you. And I'm going to share with you, because he's a supernatural God. I sensed. You don't always sense it, but that time I sensed. And from the bottom of my feet, just peace coming. And you know what? It was like 1,000 pounds got lifted off my shoulders. And I just kind of, in a picture, saw him laid at the feet of Jesus. And him smiling and saying, it's okay. I'm going before you. And so, whew, man, I want to tell you, joy came. I was glad. I mean, okay, Lord, you got this. I don't have to deal with it. You got it. Yeah. And, man, I was at such peace and joy and everything. And sure enough, I'm going to tell you, right at the start of the meeting, this group shows up. And, boy, they mad, you know. And they start in, and I just announced. I said, wait. I said, I'm a forgiven man. And I'm looking at people that are completely and totally forgiven. And so I speak peace in the name of Jesus. You know, you have authority to do that in your home. You have authority to do that in your marriage. You have authority to do that in your job. I release peace in the name of Jesus. And I just spoke and I said, anything that you want to say or do, you do later. This time's dedicated to the Lord. And I want to tell you, I got up and did my thing. And it wasn't targeted. You know, sometimes preachers can target. Well, I want to tell you, that's wrong. I don't ever do that. I don't have to. The Word of God, I mean, the Holy Spirit can apply something to you. I don't have to. Because sometimes I have people leaving and they'll say, who told you? What? What? Who told you? I don't know what you're talking about. He said, you don't know? But the Holy Spirit does. And so I'm just telling you, in that meeting, Jesus touched those people. And can I tell you something about the Prince of Peace? He gave them peace. They repented. They even asked my forgiveness. I want to tell you, it was beautiful. Now, if it had been done the East Texas Tim way, I'd have won, but I'd have made a mess out of it because I don't know how to separate the wheat from the tares. Jesus does. He can minister peace to you, and he can minister peace through you. And I want to tell you, I was in mourning that day, but then joy came. Anybody believe that? And I was able that night to minister in peace and in joy and great liberty in the Holy Spirit. I love that, don't you? Well, I want to tell you, that's not Tim, that's your Jesus. And what he's done for me and what he does for me, he can do for you. Let's look at Isaiah 61:3, and this is a part of your birthright. Isaiah 61 is describing the ministry of Jesus. He's come to set the people free. He's come to bind up the brokenhearted. And so it's described like that. This is more of it. This is part of what he will do. He will grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion. Hey, listen, church, if you're mourning, look up. Don't look to people, look up. He is coming to give them an ornament, a garland, a diadem, a beauty instead of ashes. How many of you feel like you got ashes on you? See, that was a description in what they practiced when there was sorrow and grieving, ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning. I experienced that. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. But because of who he is, that's who I am in him. And he is Jesus' joy. And he wants to anoint you with the oil of joy instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of the heavy burden, failing spirit. Well, I'll tell you what, that's pretty common today. We've been there and done that, but I want to tell you, he wants, somebody say exchange. I want you to see this. There's a transition, a transfer, an exchange that Jesus wants to do. You bring him your heavy. You bring him your burden, your failing spirit, and he will grant you a garment of praise. That's what Jesus does. A human cannot do that. A counselor cannot do that. Jesus can. That they may be called the oaks of righteousness. Now, this is not the only place in Scripture that we're pictured as trees. There's a number of places. And I want to tell you, it's a beautiful picture, an oak of righteousness. Lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished, uprightness, justice, right standing with God. That's the way the Lord sees you. That's your destiny. If you're not there, you don't have to grovel about it. You can look up because see with inside your heart that this is where the Lord's bringing you to be. This is what Jesus paid for. This is a part of your birthright. All right? That's what he loves to do. Why? That he may be glorified. The planting of the Lord. I want to tell you, trees, you've been planted. And the very fact that you've been planted means there's a plan for you. When you plant something, you have a plan. And you have a purpose. And God has a plan and purpose for you. And he didn't leave you out. And so I'm very, very excited about you. This is what the Lord wants to do. That he may be glorified. Let's be clear. You were born and you lived to bring honor and glory to God. And the sooner we figure that out and get in line with that, I want to tell you, the more you're going to see the benefit of the exchange in your life. Wow. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay. And so this is our birthright. It's the divine exchange for your freedom life, all right, to his honor and glory, and all the saints said. Acts 13:52. I want to tell you, the church was in persecution. The disciples were in persecution. And so don't say to me, well, they were all at Disney World. No. No, I'm telling you, it's battlefield. I want to tell you, you're in a battlefield. If you don't know it now, get ready. But I'm telling you, you're in a battlefield. But in the midst of the battlefield, even when things aren't feeling good, looking good, being good for you, the Lord is at work. And he's promised. See, it's part of the heartbeat of the Father, is that he will soon and very soon work things out, because he's working behind the scene to work things out for your good and his glory. Don't forget, it's for his glory. That's how great the Lord is. But look at it. Look at Acts 13:52. They were in persecution, but they came. They in the midst of persecution, they began to praise continually. Look at 52, and the disciples were continually, remember this is in persecution, the disciples were continually, somebody say continually, filled throughout their souls with joy and the Holy Spirit. Wow. So is that possible? Yes. It's been paid for. It's been paid for. I want to tell you, Jesus deserves what he paid for. He wants you to receive his joy. And so his joy is supernatural. It's not based on the natural. His joy is supernatural. But I want to make sure you understand it's available for you. Okay, 1 John 4:9. In this the love of God was made manifest. It's speaking of Jesus. It was displayed where we are concerned in that God sent his son Jesus. It's Jesus. The only begotten unique son into the world. So that we, everybody say your name. Yeah, it's your name right there. Might live through him. He paid the price so that you can live his life through him. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I. But Christ liveth in me. You see, it's Christ in you. And he wants you to live his life through you. I am telling you, that's beautiful, that's powerful, that's for you. That's for all of us. Jesus came and proved his love toward us so that we can live this life through him. And so your life is not a normal human life. It's a Jesus life. Jesus wore the crown of thorns on his head so that you can have a sound mind free from fears, guilt, depression, anxieties, and stress. Was that too much for you, too quick? Well, I want to tell you, I understand anxieties come, stress comes, right? Fears come. But I want to tell you where this really became clear to me. Back in the 80s, I was doing crusades in Central America, and I caught dengue fever. You don't want to know about dengue fever. It's bad stuff. It was like ranked on the number three of the world's diseases or whatever. But it's a tropical thing for mosquitoes. It's a tough deal. A lot of people die from it. And, man, it's high fevers. And they still don't know what to do with it. They still don't have a vaccine for it. They basically, what they do, still do, is that they hydrate you and they shoot you with pain meds and see if you're going to live. And I want to tell you, they thought I was going to die because they called the family around and said, you know, y'all best be in there. I want to tell you, God raised me up. It was a beautiful thing. It was a process, too. I eventually had to go on a 40-day fast of just water and for that, get that poison out of my system. And then there was recovery time after that, you know. But I want to tell you, I continued to minister through the whole time. That wasn't because of Tim. That was because of Jesus. Matter of fact, on the 40th day of the fast, I preached. It was got called that morning. You got to preach today. And I did. Now, that was supernatural strength. Okay. And so there was a lot of things that the Lord showed me in that. But here was the deal, is that one of the things about dengue fever is the headaches. And it's called a pain disease. And a matter of fact, the Nationals call it break bone fever. Because, you know, it feels like your bones are going to just snap. A lot of pain. Matter of fact, I'll describe one thing to you. The headaches were so bad that when you blinked, you would grimace when you blinked. And so I just want to tell you, this is where I first got this picture. I got this picture of the thorns being pierced into his head. Not just set on there like the little granddaughters do the little crowns. No, it was pierced into his head. And so his head suffered for your head to be free. Now see, this is where exchange comes. You can believe that. You got headaches. You got, some people are tormented in their mind. Well, we deal with those. They come and they're just absolutely tormented. They can't rest, can't be at peace, can't sleep. Miserable. I mean, scenarios. Just, you know, plaguing, terrorism in their mind. And I want to tell you, Jesus paid the price for your mind to be free. Well, I'm telling you, that's beautiful. Hey, how about the feet of Jesus? You know, you got feet problems? Well, I want to tell you something. Hey, there was a stake driven through his feet in order for your feet to be well. That's simple. You say, that's going too far. No, it's not. He suffered for our healing. He suffered for our restoration. And I want to tell you, your feet may have taken you places where you shouldn't have been. I want to tell you, when Jesus was on earth, remember, this was a fallen earth. And his feet brought him places where there was a lot of lack. And he was their supply. Brought him places where there was a lot of disease, and he was their healing. A lot of places that were where there was condemnation. But I want to tell you, he was their forgiveness. Do you see that? A lot of places where atmosphere of death, and he brought life into death situations. You understand that? That's the same Jesus that's in you right now. And so I'm telling you, at the cross where those feet were nail pierced, you don't need to be in such places yourself. And the places where you've left footprints can be healed and can be restored. He's rescued you from having to accept and suffer these things in your life as a way of life. You may get there, but you don't have to stay there. Because he's our rescue. Jesus didn't have to. He chose to. Why? Because he loves you. He spared not even himself so that you may have every blessing of health, wholeness, and abundant life. He took your junk so you could have his blessing. That's the transfer. And so what I'm saying to you is let the Lord love you into wellness. Don't be satisfied where you are. Let's let the Lord love you into more. Because he's the God of the much more. Let's remember his exchange is in us right here. We receive by faith. And one of the ways that we receive, what we show people and teach people, is by letting go of it. You know, we tend to want to grab it and just grip it with an iron fist. I want to tell you, take whatever that you're gripping like that and relax your hand, let go. Matter of fact, that's one of the words that describes forgiveness is to let go. Let it go. And let it go at the feet of Jesus. Drop it at his feet. Let go and let him love you into wellness. Surrender your own efforts. Sometimes that takes a longer period of time than anything else. I want to tell you, the work of God would be expedited in our life if we would learn to surrender our own efforts and completely and wholly lean on his love and grace. Now, it's one thing for me to say that, but see, the Holy Spirit has to coach you and show you how to do that, because it's a personal journey. It's not something another pastor can do for you. Romans 5:17, look at that real quick. You know, it's one of my favorite ones. For it, because of one man's trespass, somebody say Adam, death reigned through that one. Much more surely, this is talking about your Jesus right here, will those who receive God's overflowing grace, Jesus paid the price on the cross for us to have overflowing grace. That means unmerited favor. And the free gift of righteousness. This is the 1-2 punch of the kingdom of God. Overflowing grace has provided the free gift of righteousness. When we own both of those, or apply or appropriate both of those, it gives us the 1-2 punch in this life of victory, because the gift of righteousness is the position that he places us in to receive all that he has. It's your position. It's your position of receiving. And grace has paid for it all. Isn't that beautiful? This is the 1-2 punch that will allow us to reign as kings in heaven only? No. Kings in this life. How do we do this? It's through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so I just love that. That is for each and every one of us. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, a judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation comes. But it's not from God. As a matter of fact, he doesn't play the shame-blame game. God doesn't do that. If you're experiencing the shame-blame game and condemnation, I want to announce something to you. That's not from God. That's from the enemy. And he will lie to you about it, because he's a liar. He's the father of all lies. And he will say things to you like this: God is so mad at you. God is so disappointed in you. God is so tired of messing with you. I want to tell you, he's a liar. Okay, that's not God. That's the liar. And for you to believe that means that you're believing the lie. And I want to tell you, when you believe a lie, it can get you off course. Believing a lie can keep you off course. That's why we got to know the truth. And we got to give allegiance to the truth that you're forgiven forever. That's so beautiful. It's hard. I know it sounds impossible, but that's the truth. That's the gospel. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh, this is why we teach you that one of the greatest things you can do is have a spiritual mindset, to have your mind renewed by the Word of God, your computer reprogrammed by the Word, so that you identify with what the Word says about you, what God says about you, and not what the world or the enemy or the flesh says about you. But I want to tell you, if you want to walk after the flesh, you're not going to believe and have faith. It'll rob you of it. It's a tug of war. And if you walk after the flesh, you're getting on the side of the world, flesh, and the devil, and you're pulling against the spiritual purpose of God in your life. But if you get on God's side of it, I want to tell you, hey, the tug of war is already won. You just step over on the winning team. And so I'm telling you, you release great victory in your life when you're following after and dictates of the Spirit. Paul says the key to receiving from the Lord and reigning in this life is to stop depending on yourself. Stop depending on your own efforts. When you do that, you fall from grace into works. You fall into the power of flesh, and where does that get you? In a bigger mess. It prolongs, keeps your rescue from happening. Because you're telling God, I can do this myself. I'll climb myself out of it. I'll pull myself up by my own bootstrap. And so one of the greatest things you can do is to stop depending on yourself, your own efforts, your big brain, your big muscles, your mighty will, and surrender and yield them to him and receive of him. Remember, divine exchange. So one of the greatest things you can do is to bring that to the Lord and give it up by faith in what he's done on the cross. We receive abundant grace. I want to tell you, it's more than enough grace for anything you ever face. That's what's available. The gift of righteousness puts you in a position where that we are operating, and it's by faith. We're operating based on the rightness of Jesus and not the rightness of you. The rightness of you is not enough. But all of us can operate under the rightness of Jesus. Is that good? I'm telling you, that's powerful. The gift is our position in this life to receive. Jesus is your guarantee. Guarantee. He's your guarantee. He's your qualification. You don't qualify. And so I want to tell you, you need to surrender your qualifications that you feel that you deserve to get something from God because, of, you know, you're not as bad as somebody else or what all you've done. No, no, no. You surrender your qualifications. They're not near good enough. And I want to tell you something. You also surrender your disqualifications. Your disqualifications does not keep you from receiving from God. I want you to know this. Your disqualifications put you in position to receive. Because he's the one that qualified because of our disqualification. Nobody, I don't care how spiritual you think you are, nobody here qualifies on your own. Hey, we're all disqualified. That puts us in a position to need the doctor. We're all sick that need the doctor. And Jesus said he came for those who know they need him. And so I'm telling you how simple it is. It's just to surrender your disqualifications to him because he's the one that qualifies you. Amen? And one of the ways that we do that is just like this, real simple before the Lord. Lord, I can't, you can. You know what that is? That's humbling yourself before him. That's depending on him. I want to tell you that's powerful. Today, Lord, I rest and receive your unmerited favor. It's undeserving favor, free favor of your love. Let all the stress and the pressure and the demands, you know, they have a way of building up, don't they? They have a way of looking like a big ship, like a Titanic. You got all these demands, and see, that's what the world will do, and that's what the law will do. That's what flesh will do, demand, 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 pressure, 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 pressure. I want to tell you, they look like a big ship, and I want to tell you, but the ocean is so much bigger than that ship. I'm going to tell you that big, big ship that the enemy blows up in your scene that is just too much, way more, and you can't handle it. You can't. I want to tell you, it's a tiny, bitty cork that sinks in a big ocean of God's grace. Would you just see that? Would you see it sinking and disappearing in the ocean of his love, his grace? Because he is the more than enough abundant supply. Lord, you're my strength and supply, my rescue, my provision. You're my endless right now supply of joy, peace, and love because that's who you are. And I'm the candidate to receive it, and all the people said. Philippians 3:20, but we are citizens of the state which is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. That's our homeland. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus as Messiah and Savior. I get to tell people over and over that, you know what? Christians don't view look forward to death. Death is not a problem for us. It's just an elevator moving us to a higher level of life. But I want to tell you, we don't look forward to death. We look forward to his coming because there's hope in his coming, and his coming could be any time. And so we're citizens of heaven living on earth. So we live in this world, but we're not of the world. That's what Jesus said, John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. We know that Jesus, hey, I want to tell you, he came and visited earth and showed us the love of the Father. We're here when we accept him. We become a part of him. This is not our home. We're just visiting. But while we're visiting, let's show people the love of the Father. Let's show people the reality of Jesus. Let's show people the power of the Holy Spirit, and all the people said. Yeah, this means in a real practical way, we live on this earth and we do face earthly troubles, but we don't conform to the patterns of this earth. Hey, that's what Romans 12:1 says. Don't be poured into the mold of the world. We don't have to respond just like the world does. We don't have to. For the world, happiness comes when things happen the way they want them. But that's not the way believing believers respond. Are you ready? 1 Peter 1, verse 4 says this. We are born anew. It's because we've been born again. This is why we call joy and peace and love your birthright. We're born into an inheritance. We have to recognize it. We have to personally receive it. We have to personally respond to it. where it's not just staying in here, but it's out there. I want to show you in just a minute how that, you know what, the greater reality of what you got to receive it before you can share it. But I want to tell you, if it doesn't end up and you're sharing it, there's been a blockage somewhere. Because he designed his life and his love, his joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested on the outside. It's called the works of faith, okay? But we're born into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay. It's imperishable. The world, the flesh, the devil cannot corrupt the inheritance that God's given you. It's treasure reserved for you. Okay, they can't steal it. It's for you. It's got your name on it. The only thing that can hinder is you not receiving it. You not practicing it. You not releasing it. Okay? It's unfading. It's reserved in heaven for you, and it's released in you. You got to see that. It's released in you. You say, well, I didn't get that. Yeah, you do have it. We got to discover what we have in Jesus and then learn and let the Holy Spirit show us how to release it, because you got to receive it before you can share it. And so this is the way the Lord works. You know, you're very loved and grace is provided. You see, this is what hope does. You get in the Word, he reprograms your computer to see that this is you with your name on it and it's here in your heart. That's what hope is. And then when you know that you have hope for it, then faith comes to express it. And it becomes from the inside to the outside. That's the purpose of God. From the invisible to the visible. Somebody say amen to that. Okay, that helps me preach faster. Thank you. But see, freedom is not just getting out of Egypt. There's a lot of churches, see, that don't preach any farther than that. All you have to do is get saved. Just get saved. That's it. Well, that's the ultimate. But that's just the beginning of your journey. Because if you just get out of Egypt and you don't go any farther, you're going to park your life into the wilderness. And I want to tell you, he designed to walk you through the wilderness. And I want to tell you, is there a purpose for the wilderness? Yeah. Hey, you're going to get to know him better. He wants to reveal himself to you in the wilderness in order for you to walk in the promised land and be overcomers. And so there's some growth potential here. And it's a purpose of God. There's more than just being saved. Okay? We could take Joseph, you know, slavery to prime minister. There was a process there. And you know what? It took a number of years. I think it was 17 years. Okay? For him to go from being sold as a slave to becoming the number two man in the world. From prison to prime ministry. But I want to tell you, it's like this right here. And I was going to use my buddy Stephen. I don't see him here this morning, but he'll probably watch this because he's good at this. So I'm going to speak to you, Stephen, about this. He's already given me permission to share this as an example. So don't think I'm tattletelling. But I want to tell you this, just about this time last year, about Resurrection Day last year, he experienced freedom. He got rescued. Jesus rescued him. Now, this wasn't all of a sudden thing, because we'd been working on this for about a year. But you know what? He came to the place where he was at the end of himself and where he surrendered. You know what? It requires that. If you're still trying to work everything out, you know, you're so smart, you got this, and, you know, just another lap around the mountain, well, where has that got you so far? But I'm telling you, the key is to surrender. And he surrendered for real. And I want to tell you, the Lord rescued him. And you know what? He's experienced an amazing year of rescue. But one of the things I got to say to you, Stephen, that I'm saying to the whole body of Christ and everybody watching and listening in, that's not the end result. That's the beginning of the journey. Because you know what? After the rescue year, there needs to be a growing year where you get to know God better. Okay? And after the growing year, there's ministry years. And I want to tell you, that's exciting too. Hey, it's like this. It's rescue, restoration, and then the ministry of reconciliation, bringing others to know the grace of God. That's beautiful. 2 Corinthians 5:19 brings this out. I know I'm in the middle of another verse, but I got to take a time out. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses. Aren't you glad about that? And so I am telling you something, and I want you to see this personally. I know that there's a lot of people that come here that are out there that are bound up in their trespasses, but I want to tell you, their sins are not the problem. Jesus has paid for their sins. What they need to do is to hear the ministry, the message of reconciliation, that Jesus has paid for your sins, and he has also paid for your restoration to his favor. And so that's the end. That we go from rescue to restoration to reconciliation. And it's the ministry of reconciliation where we are reconciling others to the very favor of God that rescued and restored us. Do you see that? Now, let me rush to say this. Don't think that you ever graduate to the place that you don't ever need to be rescued more. Don't ever think that you graduate to the place that you don't ever need to be restored more. Don't ever think that you graduate to the place that you've got the reconciliation already fenced in, because God wants to increase. And so I'm telling you, even on your journey, you never outgrow the fact that, you know what? The Lord will rescue you to greater and greater levels of freedom. I kind of use the example of the onion, you know, different layers of onion. And you may think, you know what, I'm doing okay. You know, I mean, the Lord's rescued me from so much, and I'm not, you know, where I used to be, and look how far I've come. And then the Lord, in a loving, gentle way, will bring to the surface another area, a level, that he wants to walk you in freedom in. And you say, what? I mean, I remember a time in my life when the Lord dealt with me on some things that I thought, well, you know, I might need a little tune-up. No, it was overhaul, baby. But I want to tell you something. It's the loving work of the Lord. Because I want to tell you, he wants to walk us in greater and greater levels of freedom. Now, I want to give you good news. Even while you're in the rescue mode, you still have ministry to minister. Because you only have to be a couple steps ahead of someone else to say, I think it's this way, let's go. Are you with me? I know what he's doing with me, he can do with you, come on. And I want to tell you the same thing about the restoration. Same thing about the level of reconciliation. And I want to tell you, we will continue in this journey, experience him in all of those areas. And that's why that you never can have the mindset that I've arrived. I got it all figured out. No, my friend. We are lifetime learners. Wow, amen, Brother Tim. Okay, so we are guarded, garrisoned. This is verse 5. Oh, back in Philippians now. We are guarded, garrisoned, we are surrounded, think fortress, by God's power. We are protected by God's power. It's God's power that's protecting us. It's by our faith that we see it and ignite it and receive it. That you fully inherit the final salvation that is ready to be revealed to you in the last time. Now, I want to tell you, how much of the final complete salvation are you going to receive in this journey on earth? Because it's not just for heaven. It's not just for heaven. It's for here. Now, I'm not messing with you. I'm being honest with you. When you enter heaven, wow, you're going to see it. You're going to know it. You're going to experience it. I mean, the complete level of freedom, the complete level of love, like you've never, all the love you've ever experienced on earth, you're going to experience at one moment, much more than one moment when you enter heaven. But I want to tell you, just a little visit of heaven that I experienced in my life, I came away with one message. There's more. There's more. And I want to tell you, one of the revelations I think that'll hit you when you first enter heaven, you're going to say, you know, Pastor Tim wasn't messing. This really is for us. Jesus paid for a whole lot more than what we're walking in. But he wants to lead us into that. Is anyone willing to go on the adventure of discovery? Then I want to tell you, how much of the final salvation are we going to experience on this earth? It depends on how much revealed, how much revelation we get here. Because you're going to get revelation there and you're going to receive it all. But how much revelation of Jesus are you going to get here? You should be exceedingly glad on this account. Though now for a little while, you may be distressed. You remember the disciples, while they were in persecution, they were filled with joy, and they were praising and were filled with joy. How is that? It's not naturally possible. It's supernatural. You may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations. Isn't that true? I want to tell you a breakthrough the Lord gave me, and this was back in the 90s. And I was working for the Dallas County. And I was a supervisor at the Restoration Center. And I had a staff, you know, and man, we had a great time. And the Lord, we saw the Lord do some great things. But I was there for 2 years. And I want to tell you something. I had this one staff member, and boy, things would get hopping and popping and kind of stressful, you know, because we had 50 probationers that we would be taking. Sometimes there's only two or three of us. And so, boy, that can get exciting. And so I want to tell you, things would get exciting. And this staff member I had, he'd say, "Mr. Hall, Mr. Hall." And I'd say, "Yeah, man." He said, "This is really stressful." I said, "Yeah, it's going to be okay." He said, I just got to have a smoke break." And I said, "Okay, go get your smoke break," because I know he'd come back feeling better. And so I'd go get it, man. And one night it really hit me, because I had three on staff there that night. We had a full load. And you know, he said, I got to have a smoke break. And I said, "Well, I'm going with you." He said, "Okay." And I turned it over to another staff member, and I walked out with him. He said, "You going to light up? You going to fire up, Mr. Hall?" I said, "No, this is a praise break for me." And I broke out in praise. And I want to tell you, about the time he finished up that cancer stick, I want to tell you something, man. I was full of praise. I was in a better state. And so then it became kind of a funny thing after a while. Anytime they sensed me getting a little stressed, they'd say, "Mr. Hall, do you need a praise break?" "Yes, I do." But I want to tell you, that's applying a spiritual principle. You see, with the praise break, you see, you're recognizing Him. You're receiving of Him. You're responding to Him. See, it's by faith. It's a faith response. You can't wait on the feeling. It's a faith response. And so we rest and assume the position. Remember that. Reach out and touch Him, and you'll be touched. He'll minister to you. Resist whatever's coming against you. So you submit to God and you resist. And remember that word. I think I showed you that word. That word resist means antihistamine. Isn't that beautiful? Well, we know what that is on season. People take antihistamine to drive back the allergies. Now, I want to tell you, when you resist, it's antihistamine to the devil. I'm telling you, he's allergic to it. It's a driving back. Does anyone like that picture? And so, look at this. So that the genuineness of your faith may be tested, which is infinitely more precious and perishable than gold, which is tested and purified by fire. You say, "Well, this seems so unnecessary. Why must our faith be tested? That's not fun." I want to tell you why. Because you got to know how to use it. There's only one way to learn how to use it, and that's by doing. I mean, sometimes it's more caught than taught. There's some receiving and some learning, but if it only stays here, only stays here and doesn't get out here, then I want to tell you, his faith without works is dead. And I want to tell you, he wants you to know how to use it, that you really know how to receive from the invisible to the visible, from the spiritual world to the visible world, the natural world. Hey, his word and his promises versus the problems. Amen. Spiritual minded versus carnal minded. Amen. How to resist the enemy. So you got to know how to resist the enemy. We can't get you in a class and just tell you. You got to practice it. You got to operate in it. How to win. He's given you an overcoming faith so that you can overcome. But you got to learn how to apply it, how to practice. This is why it's got to be tested. This is the proving of your faith. It's intended to redound to your praise, honor, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ, the anointed one, is revealed. And so I want to tell you, you get rewarded. Listen to me. You get rewarded and celebrated from heaven to earth about every time you exercise your faith. Now, I want to tell you, that's beautiful. Now, you want me to tell you what centers you in on exercising your faith? It's when Jesus is revealed. Somebody say revelation of Jesus. This is why we preach this so much and we talk about it so much. But I'm telling you, you'll be celebrated now and forever for every victory you exercise by faith. But I want to tell you, the revelation of Jesus is very important with this. How am I doing? Okay, coming a little short here. Without having seen him, you love him. Now see, this is why we say it's not just checking off the boxes on a list. Hey, we're talking about relationship. We're talking about fellowship. And I want to tell you, it comes from the invisible. Because we don't see him, but you love him. You see, it's invisible, personal, intimate love life with Him that produces the visible manifestation of the kingdom in your life. The visible fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. But it's from intimacy with Him. It's from love life with Him. Love is first. Love and then hope and then faith. And I want to tell you, He wants you to know Him. He wants love life. That'll give you hope life. And hope life will give you faith life. Is anybody listening? And so we believe in Him, and we exult and thrill with inexpressible, glorious joy. This is where you get your joy. Fruit of the Spirit, when you have personal fellowship relationship, the fruit of the Spirit has public expression. Dominant expression. And so what expression are you more aware of in your life? Because I want to tell you, I'm just going to give you a quick example, and I'm going to wrap up. It goes like this. I tell people, you know, let's have a blessings journal. Because Thanksgiving is the gate. And not too long ago, I was driving back from one of my little ministry trips. It had been a very, very long day, couple days. And I'd been driving a long time. But I'm going over my Thanksgiving, my blessings journal in the truck. And I'm praising the Lord. I'm thanking the Lord. And I begin to thank the Lord for the beautiful blonde. Boy, I'm telling you, that's a good chapter. And so I'm praising the Lord for her. I'm thanking the Lord for her. And I want to tell you, the more I do that, the more beautiful she becomes in that truck. And she ain't even there. And I want to tell you, the RPMs in my heart were going higher. And the RPMs in the truck were going high. Red Hawk driving a little faster, you know. Because the more I was thanking God for her, the more I wanted to see her, get home to her, to hug on her. Do I need to explain anymore? Because I can. Well, I'm just announcing to you that by the time I got home, I was revved up. Now, I want to tell you. Now, look, that's just a little picture. But I want to tell you, you become what you focus on. Hey, let's center in. Let Jesus be the center. And I want to tell you, celebrate Him, esteem Him, glorify Him. And I want to tell you, hey, that brings you into a manifested presence of God. And that's where you receive the love of God in a free way, the hope of God in a clear way, the faith of God is manifested in a strategic way. Because the Word is true, this can be our experience. We can have joy unspeakable and full of God's glory even in the midst of the trials we face. Our joy is independent of our circumstances. We can rejoice in the Lord even when things don't go our way. These things, and this is what I'm wrapping with, these things are temporary. I'm telling you, they're temporary. Loving Father, He's working all things out for our good and His glory. Be sure and surrender to His purpose. Make it about Him. And you'll see His manifested love about you. It's true. You believe it. You speak it out with a victory shout. Even before there's a touchdown scored, you shout the victory. And let God be God. I'm praying for you right now. Thank you for your time this morning. I want to just say to you, one of the principles I'll kick out next week is that, you know what, this would be a great time, and I'll share about it next week, to yield your rights. That's an important principle that we talk about. You know what? You very well may yield your right to be right. Boy, that's a big one. You know, do you have to have the last word? You have to convince everybody you're right and everybody else is wrong. You have to be the only one, you know, that's got it all figured out. I want to tell you, that's not walking in humility before God and man. I want to tell you, instead of telling God how to do it, maybe we just need to yield our rights. Because I want to tell you what happens when you yield. Because Jesus yielded His rights for you. When we yield our rights for Him, He takes responsibility for what we yield to Him. And He does it His way. with His favor, His timing, and you'll be so amazed when you yield that He will allow you, He will put you at the right place, at the right time, around the right people for breakthrough in your life. That's your Jesus. And I want to tell you, we don't have to lack for joy. You ask, you seek, you knock, you submit to Him, and you see Jesus. It's revelation of Jesus. You see Jesus. Joy comes. So put your focus on Jesus. I'm praying for you right now. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your power. Thank You for the power of Your word. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are far surpassing in power and in love and in grace than anything we ever face. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're not unreachable, that You're very touchable, because You're very present. You're very present help in the right now in time of trouble. And Lord Jesus, we just surrender to You this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. Manifest Your touch and Your power in the heart and life of every person that's looking to You right now. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that our part is just to look and we'll receive life. We look to You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for those that You're speaking to right now to yield. Lord, if we've had our hands too tightly on something, we surrender them at Your feet. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You take responsibility for those things we yield to You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're our breakthrough, You're our rescue, You're our restoration, You're our reconciliation. Lord Jesus, we want You to receive honor and glory through our life. And we just declare that, decree that, we speak that right now in Jesus' name for Your power to bring honor and glory to You through our life. In Jesus' name, and all the people said. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise.